He's always got his ear to the ground, this man, Andrew Webster. Good morning, mate.
I've got something to the ground. Good morning, Laurie.
I'll tell you what, though, Webby, it's a big day for rugby league, and in particular, Jack DeBellin, for this no-fault stand-down policy, which we believe a judgment will happen today at 4 p.m.
That's exactly right. It happens at 4 o'clock in the federal court. I don't think Todd Greenberg will be at the hearing. It's a really weird one. The federal court operates a bit different to most others. So I think Justice Melissa Perry will give her verdict at 4 o'clock. I think it's only hands down a judgment. It's about a five-minute process. And then this 600-page ruling goes online. So that's going to be fun as a newspaper reporter wading through that in 2 hours before deadline on Friday. Can't wait. Mm. And then I think Todd Greenberg will do a doorstop press conference soon after. So I think if the NRL lose the case against DeBellin, I think they are that far down this road that they will have to appeal. I don't think Jack has got the financial resources to do it and to continue on, and that he's just going to have to stand down as per the ruling. But yeah, it has massive implications if it does. If he successfully challenges it, because I think some people of the NRL, particularly Peter Beattie, the chairman of the ARL Commission, has staked his reputation on. So, it's a very interesting one, and it's been complicated, obviously, by the fact that Dylan Walker was cleared this week and was allowed to return to the field of play. So it's going to be an interesting afternoon.
It is, Webby, because it's a real landmark day as far as not only sport but employment law in so many ways. When you think we've got this Jack DeBellin no-fault stand-down rule, so if he's successful, it'll be tossed out, but there'll be challenges. And then also today we've got Israel Folau, that three-person panel, actually found that Israel Folau was guilty of a high-level breach of his contract, but it's like, it's religious freedom of speech compared to your employment contract as well. So it's a really, this date will be a really significant day as far as employment in sport, in the sports arena, and maybe across the board.
100%. The interesting thing I found with Folau this week, Terry, was the revelation that Raylan Castle a year ago, Israel Folau signed a contract, and then the next day the Australian Rugby Union, Rugby Australia, whatever, said, "Oh, hang on, we forgot to put that clause in about the social media policy." Yeah. And they went to do an addendum to it, and he said, "No, I'm not going to sign it." So,
I've had a conversation with Raylan about this off air, because I was quite critical about how you would go about that, how you could not put that in there. Now, she explained to me, and I'm paraphrasing here, but that they clearly wanted to put it in there, but there's the enterprise bargaining agreement working against it, and obviously the Players Association would tick off on it. But she did tell me there's been five times she was assured by Israel Folau in correspondence that he was well aware of his social media obligations and the fact that they would see it as a breach if it happened again.
Okay. Well, yeah.
But she told me they weren't allowed to put it in the contract.
Right.
Because of the enterprise bargaining agreement and the Players Association wouldn't stand on it.
Yeah.
And I'm paraphrasing that, but that's my understanding of my conversation with Raylene.
Either way, they don't sound like they were on a particular... Oh, the thing I was told with Folau when this second alleged breach came up was that even those close to him seemed to think that he was on a pretty shaky level, on pretty shaky ground when it came to defending himself against it. So... You know, I'm surprised that it's gone this far down the track. You're right. Either way, though, like it's a pretty monumental day for both the NRL and Rugby Australia. I just like to think that it'll all go away very soon, and we can concentrate on the football.
Yeah, I think a lot of people want the decision.
I don't think it will, by the way.
But it to be
the people
over. But
winning out of it are the lawyers. I know that.
Oh yeah,
they're making plenty of money.
Yeah, costing both DeBellin and Israel Folau plenty of money. But we'll talk about the footy then, Webby. Last night, the West Tigers were brave going down to Melbourne.
Absolutely cracker of a game, wasn't it? The West Tigers were very close to winning it. I don't think Luke Brooks did his origin candidacy any harm with the way that he played, but Melbourne, good sign of a great team that they just managed to win no matter what. So, yeah, I think the comp's a little bit more open than people seem to think. You know, I think there was an argument that it was a race in three, but, you know, some of these teams, Melbourne...
Race in two for mine.
and the Rabbitohs are sort of, you know, they're just getting there in some of the matches. But, yeah, I agree. I still think the comp's over. I still think it's the Roosters who are going to win it, but it's going to be a bit closer than people think. Melbourne, for mine, their form's been hidden a little bit. They just keep sort of holding on.
Yeah.
But, again, that's a sign of a great team that they can come back from where they were to win. So, as I said, the interesting one for me is Luke Brooks and Wes, how this next 2 weeks are shaping up for Origin selections. I don't think he's as much in the mix as Adam Reynolds. I think I said on this show 2 weeks ago that I would be surprised if Freddie didn't stick with the incumbent halves, Nathan Cleary and James Maloney. Then 2 weeks of football got played out, and I think the thinking completely changed. As I understand it, I think Reynolds and Cleary probably got their noses in front, but Freddie just hasn't made his mind up. He's going to wait until the last minute to decide who's going to be in that New South Wales side for the first game on June 5, which is exciting.
Yeah, I think he'd like to pick Nathan Cleary. I think he feels as though he's got an obligation as a young guy that gave him an opportunity there last year and he won the series. I think he'd like to pick him, but I think the ball's in Nathan's court. I think he has to show him some reasons why he should select him. And that's what's doing Freddie's head in at the moment, I would think.
Yeah, absolutely. The other position that's quite interesting, obviously, is right centre. Now, there seems to be a lot of momentum with Josh Morris. The thinking being, if they pick Blake Ferguson on the right wing, that they'll need a stronger defensive centre. And we all know what Josh Morris can do. I know he hasn't played for a couple of years, but he's very strong when it comes to the game defensively. And it's also the side that Kalen Ponga likes to run, and he's Queensland's most potent attacking threat. So I think, that's the way they're leaning at the moment. But again, I spoke to Freddie a couple of days ago. He said he was at the traffic lights, would you believe? He said, Freddie loves, and you'd get it too, Loz. Freddie loves how much people just love Origin. He said he was at the traffic lights, and a bloke pulled up to him in a Harley David and said, Freddie, who's in your team, mate? Can you let me know? So he can't escape it. But I think he's enjoying the fact that he has so many decisions to make. This time, last year, you know, the team pretty much picked itself. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens in the next couple of months.
Yeah. Everyone was in good form, yeah. You know. But you're right, they picked themselves. But now what have we got? We've got six positions at least.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because I reckon when I used to pick Josh Morris, people would say, oh, he's a defensive centre. And that's a negative sort of mindset. Whereas last year, Freddie picked this attacking sort of team. It was based on attack without worrying about Queensland. And I'm just wondering whether he's changed his thought process by now worrying about Ponga and worrying about that left side. And we need to be stronger defensively rather than having that mindset of just going out there and attacking.
It's a good point.
Well, I don't think he's set in stone by any mean, Loz. No. But I think, you know, there's people that around him who certainly think that's the way he should go.
Yeah, it's interesting, yeah. It was all fresh last time, and blokes were just sticking their hand up left, right and centre, and everybody was in really good form. The Queenslanders, by the way, have got their own dilemmas. In fact, they've got some catastrophic setbacks as far as injuries are
concerned. They lost another one last night, Christian Welsh, ACL.
Yeah.
There was some talk about...
Craig Bellamy was pressing him for Origin.
Yeah. Well, he's a Bellamy-type player. He just does the little things well in the game.
ACL. It's his second ACL, by the way.
Bad injury. With the New South Wales side, then Webby. What about Payne Haas? What are you hearing with him?
Oh, I think he'll be there. I think there's been momentum with him for the last few weeks. I think Freddie obviously has been a big fan of him for a while, and I think the bigger dilemma is who his 14 is going to be. I know he's a big fan of Tyrone Peachy, but his form hasn't been that great for the Titans. Which way he goes with his utility is going to be... I'll be surprised if Payne Haas isn't there. He's been a big fan of him for quite a while.
Yeah, I like Peachy as that 14. I know he's not playing well and he was ill-disciplined last weekend, but I think in that environment, under Freddie in State of Origin, he would thrive. And it just gives you that ability to play all different positions over the field. So
look, how hard is it, as someone who's been there before, trying to work out who your team is for an Origin?
Yeah. Well, you know what?
And you also didn't have that as many half options as Freddie does at the moment too.
No, and we got some good options. You know, you've got some really good options there, and you know, you've got Reynolds playing good football, and he's got a connection with Cleary and also Damien Cook. You've got the incumbents Cleary, and Maloney, you've got Brooks, who's probably the next level down, but it wouldn't worry me if he was to get a run. And then you've got Mitch Moses actually playing some decent football, although not consistent like the other players. But at least we've got options there. And then you've got, of course, Mitchell Pearce, who's been there and done that. I don't think they'll go down that path, but at least he's got some options there, Freddie. And I think that's a good sign for New South Wales going
forward.
Yeah,
his past 3 weeks have been the best weeks, haven't they, for Mitchell Pearce, with Newcastle undefeated over that past 3 weeks. Webin, just clicking off on some news as well, mate. I know they a good week for Parramatta as far as signing is concerned. Brad Arthur signed, the Clint Gutherson deals got signed. And in the end, just for our listeners and our viewers, Webby, it was actually a three-year deal around that 650 mark. Clint wanted the fourth year, but I'm sure there was a square up somewhere there.
No, for sure. I'm glad they finally got it done. I couldn't believe all the dialogue around, you know, around Parramatta and people thinking that they should have rushed to sign Brad Arthur, they should have rushed to sign Clint Gutherson on a huge amount of money. I think that the offer for Clint Gutherson had been there for a while. And Brad Arthur, I think it's come earlier than they thought. It was supposed to be June that they decided what they were going to do with the coach. People seem to forget they won the Wooden Spoon last year. So I think Parramatta, for all their critics, have actually handled this quite well. Because they've taken their time and they've gotten trouble in the past with salary cap, as we well know. So, you know, I actually think the Parramatta administration deserve a little bit of a rap with the way that they've handled it. Now Mitchell Moses is the other big gun they've got to get done. So, well done, Parramatta.
Privately, behind the closed doors, they'd be thinking, we played this pretty well. We got both our men and we got them at a reasonable sort of a price. Good on you, Webby.
It's very un-Parramatta-like, isn't it?
Well, I think clubs are starting to realise, well, I'd like to think clubs are starting to realise that management, you just can't be so short-sighted with your salary cap. You've got to be...
And he's a good person, Mark O'Neill, too, and I think he's done a fantastic job in a short period of time. He's only been in charge there this season.
Yeah.
And to get the two big fish you're after, that's a significant effort.
Job well done. As for you as well, Webby, thank you.
Oh, thank you very much. Thanks, boys.
Andrew Webster.